Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, Summers! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, from the kitchen, it is a good evening slash good morning to you and IUB at 12:03 on what is now turning out to be a football Friday right here on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. On the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson, Michael Fliegelman. No, from the 1-877-337-6666. That'd be the number for another 3 hour schmooze right up until Amy Lawrence at 3 on your fan, New York City. And on your fan, New York City right now is Andy Vasquez of The Record. Andy, at this hour, any hour, thanks for a couple of minutes of your time.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's our pleasure for sure as well. Well, what is happening? It's Jamal Adams time, same time, same place, same station. Once a month, it is time for Jamal Adams to yell out, let everyone know he wants more money, or please trade me. And now, I think it is, Andy, is it not, about seven teams he would like to go to.
Yeah, he put out a list of teams, and it seems like he's open to going to one of these teams without an extension, which kind of begs the question, why is he willing to give the Jets that benefit of the doubt? And I think if you're looking, you know, I'm all for blaming the Jets for stuff. They have a history of messing up. They have a history of doing the wrong thing. Hmm. If you're looking for someone to blame, it's not an easy situation. The Jets have good reason that they don't want to pay him right now. Because he's under contract for another couple of years. Right. Jamal has great reason to want to get paid at an elite level because football is a dangerous game and you never know. And he should try to cash in on it. And now they're kind of at this impasse. It's gotten ugly. And I think, you know, it could just be a negotiating tactic, but there's also a real chance that his time with the Jets could be done.
Of course, Dr. Fauci chimes in. With football needs to be in a bubble, they need to be insulated. So there's a question about whether the football season, the NFL, will get off to the scheduled start or whether it will be a truncated season in any way, although we know that after the Super Bowl, the first Sunday in February, they could go the rest of February. They could even go into March even. Mm-hmm. So they have that kind of time. And they also have some contingency plans, as you know, you know, if the start of the season is delayed. But if in a worst-case scenario, maybe the Jets are also thinking because of the virus, maybe it will be a shortened season. I think there is going to be a NFL season. Hopefully so. You never know with the virus. But the bottom line is maybe the Jets are thinking, we don't want to pay him now. He's worth what he is asking for. Maybe not all of what he is asking for, but he certainly is worth more than what he is going to be making for the next year or two. Bottom line is, do you think the Jets might be thinking the virus, why pay a guy if we're not going to have, God forbid, a full season?
So I don't think that's the major factor. I think it's for every team, they're weighing it in, and they're kind of seeing how things are going to play out because they're not sure how this is going to financially impact them. They're, you know, I know all NFL owners are disgustingly rich and make a ton of money from their football teams, but there's a chance that if they play these games without fans or don't play a full season, they could take a financial hit. So I think that factors in, but from my understanding and the people I've talked to, the Jets were always kind of a little iffy on extending him right now just because of the message it would send. You know, because he didn't obviously make it a secret that he wanted to get paid, and they don't want, you know, every first round pick to come back to them like this. And the fact that that Joe Douglas has really made a commitment to being financially responsible. So I think those are the bigger factors in all this. But the pandemic is definitely something that teams are thinking about, and the Jets, and I think it could be a factor here, but not the major factor.
And here's another thing. You know, with Major League Baseball players, publicly, they leak to the media, and they certainly get the word out that, you know, it's all about, well, we have seen them go back and forth, you know, for three and a half months already. And, yes, there are those who take the side of the owners, those who take the side of the players. But a lot of fans are getting really tired of both sides now arguing over money, over the power, over with the ego, and doing it publicly. And so many baseball fans are turned off to the point where they're saying, although once the game starts, you know they're going to be looking in, but so many fans have been turned off by not the game of baseball per se, but the business of baseball. Would it be better for Jamal Adams, and nothing wrong with wanting to get his extension, he deserves it, to be honest with you. However, doing it publicly, I don't think does him a good service. I think what he should be doing is going and meeting face-to-face, one-on-one with Douglas and or Johnson, he and his rep team, Jamal Adams, meeting with, you know, Joe Douglas and Johnson, and doing it privately, because to be arguing and demanding and threatening over money that he wants in this extension with no leverage whatsoever, I don't think it plays well with the public at large. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if you go back and look at what he did last year at the trade deadline and the way he publicly called out Douglas, that was kind of the start of this whole thing, and it seemed like they had come to an agreement to kind of keep it in-house. I understand Jamal putting it out there at the beginning of the offseason that he wanted an extension, and that's fine, but now to keep going on with the, you know, not coming to voluntary offseason minicamp or whatever, like that was punishing the Jets in some way when it doesn't really matter, and now doing this, it just doesn't look good on his standpoint. And again, it puts the Jets in this really tough position where they would be rewarding bad behavior. So you're right. He does deserve an extension. He's the best player on the team. He's one of the best safeties in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think if he kind of quietly had voiced these concerns behind the scenes, and then if he's still unhappy when he gets to training camp and he wants to hold out, you can't argue with that. But
no,
to do it this way in public, it is ratcheting up the pressure. And maybe I tend to think that Jamal, if they paid him his money, he'd gladly take it and stay with the Jets for a long time. But maybe he really does want out, and this is his way of trying to force it, because it sure kind of feels like that right now.
And do you think if he doesn't get traded, doesn't get the extension, he's going to carry it into whatever season we have?
I think there's a good chance. Yeah, I mean, he has a very, very high opinion of himself and for very good reason on the football field. And I think he could be so angry and offended that he would, on principle, refuse to play for some amount of time. I think, you know, once you get to camp and he starts having to get a fine for holding out, maybe it changes. But he already has most of the money from his contract, his rookie deal. This year he's only set to make like $3.5 million. Mm-hmm. Or something in that neighborhood. So on a contract that pays him an average of like $6 million per year. So I could see him doing that. And that's why this is such a tricky balance for Joe Douglas and a really interesting big test for him, kind of as the first one as a GM.
Yeah, and see, I mean, I just think, you know, baseball should be teaching him a lesson. What is so ugly about what continues to go on with Major League Baseball, the owners and the players. And here with the Instagram and with the Twitter, you know, he's letting it be known. You know, he's being very bold, very arrogant. And you're right. I mean, he should think good about himself. He should be. He's one of the best safeties, and you can make the argument, money notwithstanding, he can make the argument he's the best on a bad team. That's for sure, and one of the best in the NFL. That goes without saying. But there are 40 million plus people out of work, plus more than 118,000 people have died with the virus. And of course, we are seeing with the video on TV with the overzealous cops, very criminal cops, you know, with the knee on the neck and all of these other things. It seems like every other day we are witnessing somebody getting killed, you know, by a police officer. And this is not to get into that, because I think most police officers are terrific and we need them. And I think they're heroes. That's the end of it. But the bottom line is, with all that is happening, here he is and not picking up, I would think, because I don't think he's stupid at all. I think he's a bright young man. He's a smart football player. I think he's a smart guy to begin with, from what I understand, from what I don't know him at all, never interviewed him, but I've heard interviews and I read what I read about him. No, you can say a lot of good things about him, although you're right. You know, maybe he has taken a misstep or two in terms of wanting to get that extension, but he's got to learn a lesson with what is happening around him in real life America as you and I speak.
Yeah, a couple of points here. First of all, he's 24 years old, and he is a smart guy. And I think, you know, I don't know him. I don't claim to know him. I don't like him, or reporters claim to know the guys they cover. But I've been around him, and I think he's generally a good guy. But, yeah, part of his intensity that makes him so good on the football field and that self-belief,
sure,
when it gets into this realm, it kind of, I think, can sabotage him a little. But a couple other points. I mean, Jamal, give him credit. He has stepped up on social media. He has been very vocal about the situation. He was actually out on the streets in Dallas protesting. I think, you know, it's admirable for him to use his platform to do that and to actually back it up by going out there. And then with the Jets, I don't think we can ignore the fact that they've alienated this new administration with Joe Douglas and Adam Gase. They've alienated and upset several players. And there is a chance that maybe they have a communication problem and they haven't relayed what they needed to relay to Jamal, and that's why he's so upset. It's something that we at least have to consider because of how many players have been upset with them over the course of the last year. But absolutely, I think the timing to be out there kind of vocally asking for a big contract is not great. And I don't know how that will affect the situation, but it definitely means that more fans are probably going to be a little bit more like, okay, well, if you don't want to play here, good riddance, just because, like you said, everybody's fed up.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
I still feel in my gut he's going to be here. I don't know how it's going to happen. I think they're probably going to give him the contract because he is that kind of player that makes such a big difference, and he does everything right on the field. He works hard, contagious to his teammates, and he makes big plays. But there's a chance he doesn't want to be here because he's so sick of the losing, and he might just force his way out. But my gut instinct is that he's going to end up here, and the Jets are going to pay him.
Okay. And the Buffalo Bills, and we're talking with Andy Vasquez of The Record, and glad to have him on at any time. Andy, the AFC East, Buffalo Bills, the team to beat?
Well, I think when you look at it right now, on paper, they probably look like it, especially last year, and you think they'd learn from that playoff loss. But there's just, you know, I'm not going to be the guy who counts out the Patriots until they're truly done. I mean, you know, we've seen Bill Belichick do it before without Brady. I think that was 2008 with Castle. They won 11 games. I'm sure he's relishing this opportunity. And until those guys go down and aren't a force to be reckoned with anymore, I think the Jets are going to be very leery of them, and they should be. So I think on paper the Bills are the team that's poised to kind of take over, but I'm still waiting to see the downfall, as we all have been for like a decade now.
And of course, you know, Brady is wants to show everybody he can win without Belichick, and Belichick wants to prove he can win without Brady. What kind of a quarterback do they have? Does anyone know? I mean, I know who it is, but I mean, are they going to start the season with those two quarterbacks?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. That to me would be the most concerning thing for them. But I'm sure Belichick has something up his sleeve, and if he's going to start with those two quarterbacks, he must believe that one of them can get the job done for them, because you know, he doesn't want to be embarrassed. So I think whatever he does, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, I mean, for obvious reasons.
Okay, and of course, Miami with those three first-round draft picks, a big gamble taking Tua, because he has to stay healthy and he has to stay effective. I mean, there is their future right now.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are a team that could be sneaky good. When you see how hard they were playing for Coach Flores at the end of last season, they obviously went kind of all in on free agency. That's going to be one of those things that either works or doesn't, right? Like we've seen it with the Jets before, where they kind of spend big money to make a splash, and it doesn't work. So it's kind of a risky approach to building a team, but I think they could be a lot better this season just because they're playing so hard at the end of last year. Of course, beating the Patriots there to end the season, and the Patriots losing their bye, which obviously had a huge impact. And they were playing really well at the end of last season compared to the way they looked at the beginning of the season. So
yeah.
I think this division is going to be a lot tougher this year, and I think the Jets will be significantly better too.
I was going to ask you about that before we let you go. Sam Darnold right now is the quarterback of the franchise. Will he take another step up on his way to being the franchise quarterback?
So I know a lot of people were freaked out by what they saw last year, and for good reason. His stats were better, but if you watched him, he was way less comfortable in the pocket than he was at the end of his first year. And I think what you saw at the end of his first year is why you should be confident that he's going to be much better this year. Even if you look back at that offensive line, the last four games of 2018, his rookie year, it was not great. It was bad, but they were at least like consistently bad. It wasn't like guys blowing blocks out of nowhere and Darnold didn't know what to expect. So those last four games, he almost beat the Packers, almost beat the Texans. Both those teams were in playoff contention at that point, and he played really well, probably the best football of his career. Now I think he's going to have a better offensive line in front of him, and that is proof that he can make things happen when he has consistent blocking. So I think he's going to take the step this year. I think he really does have the potential to be a special quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 23 years old. I think he just turned 23 a couple weeks ago. He's still younger than Joe Burrow. People forget that. I think you're going to start to see things come together for him, and that's really going to be the determining factor for the Jets, good he is.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And the left tackle to be for the next 10 years, I guess the question right now would be, is he over 400 pounds or under 400 pounds?
Well, I'm sure the Jets hope he's under. I think he was somewhere around 380, 375, somewhere in there. I think that's the ideal weight for him. And he is a large human being, so obviously his ideal weight is different than most guys, but yeah, that's going to be the biggest factor, I think, for his success. How hard he's going to work on keeping his body where it needs to be. That was the biggest question in college. He has every bit of talent, skill, size, everything you need to be a great left tackle in the NFL. The early signs, he said all the right things. You see a lot of videos and pictures of him on social media working out. So obviously, we're only going to find out as time goes on, but I think the early signs are promising, and yeah, that's the thing to watch, is conditioning for sure.
And I also loved what Joe Douglas did in the draft, moving, I believe, from 48 to 59, still getting the guy he wanted and getting an extra draft pick as well.
Yeah, that was, I mean, we're not going to be able to grade the draft, obviously, for a few years, but in terms of a guy running his first NFL draft, and running it in a strange situation where he's at home, away from everybody, Right. You might have thought there would be some nerves or uncomfort, discomfort. No, he knew what he was doing. He won. He even traded with the Patriots, and if you go by the chart, he won the trade. Right. So how often does that happen? But yeah, Mims is another guy, Denzel Mims, their second-round pick, who they got at 59. He's going to be very interesting because he has all the tools, but you know, you kind of always wonder with guys coming from the Big 12 how they make the adjustment. So,
and they got a safety from Cal, correct?
Yeah, Ashton Davis. This guy has electric speed. He's very exciting in terms of he's kind of a dynamic guy. So he's a ball hawk, but he can line up kind of in the box if he has to. He can return kicks. He's just a great athlete. He's got a great story, kind of was never offered a scholarship to play football, went to Cal as a walk-on on track. He wouldn't take a track scholarship because he wanted to have a chance to walk on to the football team, ended up walking on to the football team and then becoming one of the best defensive players in the Pac-12 and then being a third-round pick. That's pretty good in 3 years.
Yeah, and I believe you mentioned track. He was an All-American in track and field. So he was a standout there, and I think from what I was reading about him during the draft was that he might take on the slot receiver. I don't think he's a pure safety, whether it's free or whether it's strong. However, let me ask you this about Davis, the kid you're talking about. Could he be returning kicks? Because he had, at Cal, a very good record over the last 2 years, I believe he was there, returning punts and returning kickoffs, and he was averaging with the punts, I think, a little bit over 20 yards a return. So that is also an option for this kid, Davis.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a big reason why the Jets picked him up, is that versatility and his ability to do that. And I think even if he doesn't have a spot on the defense right away, a consistent spot, it may be tough to work him in there with Marcus May and Adams, although the Jets said that one of the things they liked about him is he's versatile enough to do some three safety sets. But if they don't work him in on the defense right away, he'll be a day one special teams contributor, and I think he'll be an impactful one, returning punts and maybe kicks too.
And Williamson and C.J. Mosley, they ought to be back. Are they going to be ready to go if the NFL is ready to go?
Well, we haven't had an update from Avery Williamson since last year. So from everything we understand, his rehab is on schedule. That timeline was always going to be tough because he was hurt in the preseason. It's going to be close, I'm guessing, to training camp for him. C.J. Mosley, we talked to him last week, some of the reporters on a Zoom call, and he says that he's been fully cleared to do everything and that he's fully healthy and that this time away, because he'd only missed 3 games in his whole career before joining the Jets, of course, this time away had made him appreciate the game more, and that he's very excited to get back to it. So
how about,
that's promising.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you never know. He's kind of nearing that age in his career. He's getting to 28 where you're not sure how a guy is going to respond to that, but he says that he feels good, and we saw how good the Jets' defense was. That even though it was only 3 quarters last year in week one, he made an insane difference. So it would be really interesting to see how much of his former self he is.
And then a final question, Andy, and then I'll let you go with the offensive line. I know with the Jets in free agency, they signed this kid, this center, Connor McGovern, out of Denver. And I understand that he started, did he not, all games for the all 16 games for the Broncos last year and did not commit a penalty.
Yeah, that's not something you're used to seeing if you watch a Jets game. I mean, that is for sure. So, yeah, that is something that one of the big problems with the offensive line is even when they set a block last year, they seem to commit a penalty and it almost always reversed a big play. So that's an exciting thing. The Jets are going, Gase and Douglas are going into this season saying that they haven't set the positions and everybody's going to kind of compete for it. But I think McGovern is going to be the center. I think he's got the most experience. He's a big upgrade over what they had last year. And I think that will make a big difference for Darnold and Le'Veon Bell. And I think that's one thing you know, that we haven't touched on much, but I think Bell still has some good football left in him. Mm-hmm. He's not as bad as what we saw last year, and I think we might see a little bit more of that with a better offensive line.
And one final thing. I know they, with the guy from Seattle, George Fant, you know, listen, he wasn't supposedly, from what I understand, I wasn't watching Seattle Seahawks games unless they were playing a New York team. But I read a lot about him. He's a new left tackle. Is he going to start the season for the Jets, do you think, at left tackle? Or should it be that number one guy that's about 380 right now?
I think it's going to be based on what we see in training camp. I think if Becton isn't completely overwhelmed and looks like he can handle it, I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt and be the starter, because mm-hmm. it makes sense to team him with Darnold as early as possible and to get this era started. Mm-hmm. So I think more than likely Fant will be competing for a job at right tackle, mm-hmm. Which isn't his ideal position. He came to the Jets because he wanted to play left tackle, but he's open to it, and I think they're just going to kind of see how things look during training camp.
Yeah, and for the 3 years and $30 million for George Fant, you know he's going to have the inside track when training camp does start. Andy, I cannot thank you enough for a good half hour. We really appreciate it. Stay safe, stay sound, and stay healthy, and take care of yourself. And again, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the time, and same to you. Stay safe.
You got it. We'll try and do that. All right, we'll take a break, and then we're going to get right away to your telephone calls. I was looking at my Neo screen. I know a couple of guys did drop off during the interview. Understandable. That's normal. Call us back. We have a line open, and for anyone else, 1-877-337-6666, as if you didn't know. Number to call on your fan, New York City.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,